Let's turn it to football for a second here, as obviously Hard Knocks with the New York Giants, off-season edition. Episode 2 was last night, and again, let's the overall thing of how much I'm enjoying it. Much more than I thought I would, honestly. I am enjoying it far more than I thought I would. I'm far more fascinated by it. I actually think I enjoy this version of it better than typical Hard Knocks. I honestly think I do. I know we're not seeing any guys hitting each other. There's no football being played, but I am fascinated by all this. And a couple of things about this Giant team in this episode jump out at me. First, let's start with the Saquon Barkley before we get to the quarterback situation. I think what we're learning and what we've now learned officially from Saquon Barkley's situation is neither side wanted to be together. I think what you've seen from this episode, which started with Joe Shane getting the email or the news that the salary cap is going to be about $15 or $20 million more than he expected. And that's how the episode starts, I believe, if I remember correctly. He gets that news, and suddenly it's like, ooh, I have new life on different things. And it didn't seem, what was the first thing that came out of his mouth? Oh, this might change the situation with Xavier. It might change the situation with X. It wasn't like, ooh, now we have money for Barkley. That wasn't it. And he continued to talk about it, asked about it, whether or not he would be willing to, you know, talking on the phone, a couple different people play, you know, his guys, is he willing to wake up and lose Saquon Barkley? And more does it seem like he will. And then honestly, Saquon Barkley, he can say all he wants that he wanted to be a Giant for life. The final scene of this episode is a conversation on the phone between Joe Shane and Saquon Barkley. Listen to Saquon Barkley. Listen to the tone in Saquon Barkley's voice. Listen to how he handled that phone call. He's fed up with the Giants. And I think they were fed up with each other too, because as Joe Shane was prepping for his press conference at the Combine, which I also thought was fascinating, they were going over all the different things he's going to be asked. He was prepped for every possible scenario. I know they only speak once in a while, GMs, but that was an extensive prep session that he went through. And he even made a joke when asked about Saquon Barkley. He talked about, well, listen, I offered him a ton of money last year and he didn't take it. And the guy who was doing the prep with is like, I wouldn't say that. He's like, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that. But like, I think you could tell there was some resentment on both sides. I think Saquon Barkley was never happy with the offers he was getting from the New York Giants. And I think the Giants were surprised that that was Saquon Barkley's take. And I think ultimately by the end of this whole thing, the two sides were just not on the same page whatsoever from the beginning of this. And to be fair to Saquon Barkley, he got a contract that at the beginning of episode one, Joe Shane really had no idea that Saquon Barkley was capable of getting. But if you listen, because, you know, he's talked about, I wanted to be a Giant for life. He's gone back at fans who said, oh, well, you abandoned us. He went back at Tiki Barber, who said, you're dead to us, tongue in cheek. But, you know, going to Philadelphia, and his was, well, I didn't get a contract offer. Hey, well, everyone knows I wanted to be a Giant for life. And he even says in the phone call, well, you know, this is where I want to be. But he could not say it with less passion. He could not have handled that phone call. Now, I know they've probably had many phone calls, and it's not like, I don't know if it's the same. You know, Ryan Hurley, I'll tell you right now, Ryan Hurley calls me, and I could be mid-slumber at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to pep up for that phone call more than Saquon Barkley did. Now, I know it's a different dynamic. Saquon Barkley's got a lot of leverage and a lot of ability. In fact, I'm nothing like Saquon Barkley. Anyway, but I know Saquon Barkley has a different situation, but like that phone call, he had no interest in talking to Joe Shane, and he had no interest in signing with the New York Giants. I'm convinced of it. Now, in the promo for next week's episode, he mentioned there's like a voiceover, and Shane is talking about the contract he offered Saquon. We're going to find out if he did offer Saquon a contract. Saquon has been public on social media saying he wasn't offered a contract. How could he abandon a team that never offered him a contract? So I guess we'll get to the bottom of that on some level. But they made an agreement that in the best interest of every party, he would go meet the market, get what his value is, and then come back to the New York Giants. And clearly, I'm thinking that's what happened. They didn't want to give the value that the Eagles did, and that's why he left. But it's just becoming clear that whether it was the negotiations of the year before during the playoff year when they tried to negotiate with him midseason, whether it was that offseason, whether it was this offseason, at some point prior to signing with the Eagles, it was dead. It was dead. I don't think Joe Shane had much of an interest in paying a 27-year-old quarterback already coming off a knee injury, considering the rest of the roster the New York Giants have. And I think something happened where Saquon Barkley was just fed up with how the New York Giants were handling it, fed up with the value that he deemed he was worth to the franchise and what the franchise actually deemed him to be worth. And it just was quite clear he didn't want to be a Giant. I think it's both. I think it works both ways. I think it's unfair of Saquon Barkley to go out there and say, hey, this is where I want it to be, blah, blah, blah. Like, listening to this, watching this, and I know I'm getting this from one phone call, but it just, it oozed. I didn't want to be here either. Hey, what's up, man? I'm doing some traveling. Yeah, good. Okay. Wait, what? What'd you say? Like, he's like, oh, just make sure you come back to us. What? Come back around? Yeah, I mean, listen, I told you where I wanted to be. Like, it just felt like there was zero interest in those two parties. So let's just get to that because it might be one of the big talking points out of it. But to me, it's less interesting. He's already gone. Clearly no issue interest between either team. Now we get to the quarterbacks and we get to the coach and we get to the GM and we get to the idea of whether or not this franchise desperately wanted Jones back. And this was the plan the whole time. And all you Daniel Jones lovers, because let's be honest, it was out there that they wanted to trade up and take a quarterback. Everyone knew it. It was reported. Some fans thought it was a smokescreen. Whatever the case may be, in this episode, you saw Joe Shane walk across the building in Indianapolis during the combine and speak to the New England Patriots and flat out tell them, hey, if you're going to do anything with this pick, don't do anything without contacting us. The New York Giants were in on moving up and getting a new quarterback. And furthermore, not only was Joe Shane excited about it to run all the way across the building to talk to the Patriots about it, I've seen Brian Daboll in person. I worked with the Giants last year doing some radio stuff, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. And I was in some of those press conferences. So I've seen him in person. We've watched him on TV. We've seen him in press conferences. I have never seen Brian Daboll as giddy as he was doing those quarterback interviews. And watching the interviews of the combine was extremely fascinating. And watching him pepper these guys with play formations. And, you know, he was, draw up your favorite play. What's your favorite play, your go-to play? I think he put it different ways to different guys, whether it was Drake May, it was give me your favorite play. If it was Daniels, he said, if you had to run one pass play the whole game, every time a pass play was called, it had to be that pass play, what pass play would you run? So he was asking the quarterbacks to draw up their favorite pass plays, and then he was on the fly asking them to change it, put it in the verbiage that the Giants use, and come up with what they felt the Giants would ask him to do and different things and spit it back to him and then mid-question on something else. Hey, what was that play I brought up before? It was fascinating how Brian Daboll, who's brought here and hired here because of the quarterback whisperer nature of what he is, whether it's the Tua and Hurts in Alabama, whether it's dating all the way back to Brett Favre with the Jets, or obviously Josh Allen in Buffalo. He was brought here because of his ability to work with young quarterbacks. And even Daniel Jones. Let's not leave out Daniel Jones, who got the best year of his career and after getting yelled at in the first game of the season 2 years ago. But watching Brian Daboll with these guys in that room, peppering them with questions, rapid fire, the smile on his face. I mean, I come out of that even more disappointed. Now, I don't know what these quarterbacks are going to be. And I thought May handled himself great. I thought Daniels handled himself great. I thought you could see interest from the Giants. But what I will tell you is, I understand I have this, I'm down on Daniel Jones. And I think it's fair. I don't think he's a bum, but I think my concerns, whether it's injury or just the amount of years we've seen it, are fair. And I wanted a new quarterback. And I'm even more disappointed than ever that it didn't happen because, one, this is what Brian Daboll does. and two, watching Brian Daboll work with these young quarterbacks. Now, again, I'm not privy to anybody else in the league. That might be typical. Those rooms might look like that no matter who's talking, what offensive coach is dealing with. I'm sure you get into a room with McVay talking to a young quarterback. It looks just like that, or just as impressive, or McVay has just as much of a smile. But Brian Daboll was brought here because of his ability to, one, run an offense, which I'm excited now that he's the play caller, but two, develop young quarterbacks. And unfortunately, Daniel Jones is not that. He has a big contract. He's coming off injuries. It's been multiple years. It's no longer the excitement of a new, fresh, young, what could be. I know there's a lot of fans out there who still put Daniel Jones in that what could be category. I don't. But watching those interviews, watching this coach interact with them, it is going to be the biggest disappointment in the last, since Tom Coughlin and all the different coaches the Giants have had over the years. The biggest disappointment that I will experience as a Giant fan surrounding all of this coaching disaster, if Brian Daboll gets fired without ever really getting his hands on a young quarterback, it's going to feel like a waste. It's going to feel like a waste. And watching those meetings, watching Joe Shane walk across the building to talk to the Patriots, there is no doubt the question has been answered. The New York Giants were in the market for a new quarterback. What does that mean? It means Daniel Jones is sitting at home and maybe he was unsure. He knows it now. What does it mean? He's got one more year to get it figured out because they were pretty damn excited to possibly move on. Now, they didn't. J.J. McCarthy was the only quarterback available when the pick was made, and they didn't deem him worthy of it. But I'm impressed that the New York Giants allowed that to be shown on some level, and it's clear that Brian Daboll is excited about dealing, and so hopefully he can get it back with Daniel Jones. Because working with young quarterbacks, I thought Brian Daboll, I mean, he shines talking about running the 40 and putting a pile of wings there and the fun that they had. But, I mean, he just lit up the room in those meetings. And we saw, obviously, Neighbors have the meeting, and he obviously got drafted. So just all of this was fascinating. But we answered a couple of questions. One, Saquon Barkley, as well as the Giants, were never a marriage. John Mara is the only one in this whole show that seemed interested in getting back together. It seemed like Joe Shane and the rest of the Giants were all into getting divorced, and it really sounded like from that phone call that Saquon Barkley himself was done with it all. The only guy who comes off as desperate to keep it together is John Mara. And then you now found out it's not a smokescreen. It wasn't nonsense. The New York Giants were in the market to trade up and get a new quarterback. And then the other thing that comes out of it, we'll find out when the Burns trade gets made. It's a second pick and a fifth overall. It started with a one, need a one. Then it became two twos. Then at the end of the episode, you see him saying, why the hell do I have to give up a seven? Like, ultimately, for Burns, Joe Shane got a pretty good deal. A two and a five from where it started, pretty good deal. And I think he comes off very smart. I think he comes off great in this thing. And I actually think the show is far more fascinating than I ever expected it to be. And watching it, it feels like the Giants are in good hands. Doesn't mean they'll win, but I think he's kind of going the way the NFL is going, where we're devaluing the running back, we're trying to get a young, cheap quarterback, you're trading for pass rushers, you're allowing safeties, even if they're talented, to leave. Like, these are the trends of the smarter teams in the NFL, and that's what the Giants are doing. And to get behind the scenes and see all this stuff was extremely fascinating. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. But those are the couple things that jump out at me. Yes, the Giants were looking for a new quarterback. The coach would have been perfect to do so. And Saquon Barkley, we know he's gone. We know he's with Philadelphia. But ultimately, if we want to look for blame or closure or what happened, somewhere along the line, Saquon Barkley wanted out as well. I don't believe him. At the end, I always wanted to be a Giant. I don't believe it. Listening to that phone call, I don't believe it. That's fair, unfair. It's my opinion, my assessment from watching the show.